100.9 Belfast, Maine.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from Darby's Restaurant and Pub. Darby's offers regional and international cuisine in historic downtown Belfast, serving lunch and dinner at 155 High Street. More information at darbysrestaurant.com.
It's 6 o'clock. It's Monday, and it's time for the sports show here on Belfast Community Radio. I'm going to be switching you to Coach Brian Goff in just a moment. And due to an error on my part, there may be a little delay. Oh, no, here comes his guest. thanks for your patience, and I'm switching right.
Lions Sports Show. This is the host of your show, the head football coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach Brian Goff. I'm also patiently awaiting winter sports to start as I've been named the head JV basketball coach this year. Really excited about that. Sounds like December 14th is going to be the date that we can start working with the players. Tonight we have a really cool guest tonight. His name is Scott Knoyer. We're going to be talking about the world of officiating. Scott has been officiating youth and high school sports for about 10 or 12 years now. He's going to give us a unique perspective of what it's like to be an official and give us a lot of great information on how folks can become an official themselves. Scott also coaches a variety of different levels of baseball, so he sees both sides of it. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Scott Knoyer, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to talking about this too. It's going to be great. Hopefully, even if I get one new official out of this, it'll be just a cherry on top for sure.
Absolutely. Before we jump into the officiating piece, Scott, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you grew up, what sports you participated in, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So I grew up actually in Pittsfield. So I actually am a graduate of MCI. I then went to the University of Maine, Orono, and got my business degree up there. I went to college with my wife, and we got married after college, and we bought a house here in Swanville. And when we moved to the area because we really liked the prospect of the school for our family that we were going to start. We literally moved into this house a month after my son was born. So 18 years ago.
Wow. So you've been in the Belfast area, for pushing 20 years. Is that to say? Excellent. So you've been a coach for how long, and what type of sports have you coached in your lifetime, Scott?
Yeah, so my very first coaching position was minor league youth baseball, when Belfast was Cal Ripken baseball. So when I went to go sign up my son when he was six, I asked the people at the table if they were interested in if they needed more coaches, and their eyes lit up and they're like, absolutely. So I started doing that, built some great relationships with some people and started that networking world. And it really has blossomed from there, continued coaching up to the higher ages of baseball. And I also was the head coach at the middle school for soccer. So I coached both the girls and the boys at Troy Howard for a couple of years. And really the only reason I stopped coaching soccer is because I had to when I joined the school board. So you're not allowed to, those restrictions when I'm part of the school board, you know how that works. So, but it's been a lot of fun, and, I've been able to stay in contact with sports through watching my son participate and then officiating, and one of the best parts is it's a front row seat. I don't get any closer to the game. Being in the bleachers, being on the court and right in it is the best scene you can get.
So the coaching took place before your officiating career. Is that right, Scott?
Yeah, definitely started out as a coach. And probably halfway through from when I started till now, coaching is when I started picking up officiating. You know, officiating career started just as a volunteer at the local Y. You know, they needed somebody to help them out in covering the basketball games. And actually, at one of the more competitive games that we had, I had a fan come down and talk to me after the game. And he was like, you know, you did a really good job. Have you ever considered like becoming a school official and a paid official for it? And at the time, I didn't realize that he is an official himself and is one of the best in the state. He's a, you know, he's officiated state championship games and everything. And I had no idea at the time. So it was a very nice compliment to get from him. And that was encouraging for me to want to continue it. So
I would imagine, you know, being, you know, participating in sports and growing up and then being a coach, was it a pretty easy transition coming from the coaching piece to the officiating just because you had a background in the sports, or was there way more to the officiating game than you initially thought?
There officiating is definitely another world. You see the game through a different lens for sure. It was interesting because the one sport I never really did actually participated in growing up was basketball. A lot of people said, you know, like I've always been really big into either baseball or soccer. So it made sense that if I was going to officiate, it would be in one of those. And honestly, the way that it worked was my son played soccer and baseball. So I wanted to always be available to watch his games. So the winter he wasn't doing a sport, that's when it made the most sense for me to get involved. That's why I started really getting heavily involved in basketball, because that was when I had a little more free time to commit to it. So
you've been officiating for, I believe, 8 or 10 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, at different levels. I've been an IABO member. This is going to be my fourth year doing school basketball as part of Board 111. But, you know, like I said, the earlier stuff like umpiring, you know, Little League Cal Ripken games. And, you know, I'm also, for the last 2 years, I've been on the Acadia board for soccer. So Searsport to Sumner. Again, one of the restrictions is being on the school board in Belfast. I can't get a paycheck, so I can't officiate a Belfast game in Belfast. So I figured I'll just go to the neighboring, I mean, it's so close, right? Searsport's the first town. And then I don't have to worry about the conflict of interest of being tied into a Belfast game if I'm always out this way. So,
right. Awesome. And so in terms of your officiating career, what levels in terms of age group have you officiated, and what different sports have you officiated in that age group as well?
So like I said, baseball, all I've ever really done is the 12 and under, you know, basically 6-year-old to 12-year-old, and just local games, not really anything of any significant impact. For soccer, I've done all the way down to kindergarten level and all the way up to high school varsity, boys and girls. For basketball, again, I've done third and fourth grade tournaments at the Y, all the way up to, you know, varsity games, both boys and girls basketball. I'm actually kind of on a quick trajectory. I became a varsity official in basketball pretty fast from what a lot of my peers have told me. And my goal is to officiate in the tournament at the Cross Center eventually. but that's still a couple of years away. There's requirements I have to fulfill that I haven't quite. They're more experience based than anything that I need to accomplish first.
Wow, that's an interesting point. I never really thought about that. You know, I know when you get into the big time officiating, there's a set of criteria and variables that NFL officials have to meet in order to, officiate the playoff games and or the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They don't want any mistakes. They want the experience. They want decisiveness. I'm sure those same things, hold true to the level of officiating that you're doing. And it sounds like you're on the right path. I think that's going to be a really cool thing to have you one day be coaching the big tournament in Maine. It's always fun to go to. Now that I'm back in Maine, I've been going every year and seeing the competition. My sophomore year, our basketball team made it. It's quite a big deal. And now that I'm the JV coach and sitting on the bench with the varsity with Coach Marty, it's one of my goals to help this team get to the tournament as well. And I think it's just a great thing for Maine high school sports all the way around, whether you're a fan, a coach, a player, or an official in your case. Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say that were the reasons that drew you to become an official in the first place? Was it the extra money? Was it your love for sports? What was it, Scott?
So there's a couple of things. Originally, when I started doing it, there were two primary driving forces. I wanted to get some regular exercise in, and running up and down the court is certainly very strong cardio. I get a real good sweat going, especially at the higher levels, trying to keep up with the teenagers definitely pushes you, right? And then the other half of it is, the money generated from it is really fueling the college fund for my kids. You know, my son's a freshman at USM, and my daughter's a junior at Belfast Area High School right now. So trying to generate a little bit of money for them and letting them use it for whatever they need it for, whether it's books or living expenses or whatever. But a third piece, which was interesting, I didn't really happen, was as I was explaining to you, that fellow official that I ran into at the Y, one of his comments that he made to me was, he goes, "Wow, you did a really good job." He's like, "I'm really impressed at how well you were able to tune out the fans." And I said, what are you talking about? And he's like, "Well, I was sitting up in the corner," and he's like, "I'm official too, so I know better." He's like, "I'm not going to yell at you because I disagree with something that's happening or whatever." But he's like, "My area, like, they were just lighting into you and your partner about all kinds of stuff." And I'm like, "I didn't hear any of that." And his eyes lit up and he's like, "Dude, you should be an official." He's like, if you can handle all of that and tune it out and still be able to focus on the kids, he's like, "That is a rare thing." He's like, "It's not certainly not a requirement, but your ability to tune that out will make your life easier, and it won't be quite as stressful, trying to manage the people yelling at you or whatever." So yeah, that helped.
That's a piece you don't really think about in terms of officiating. It's like, I've never officiated any games, played lots of sports growing up, played 4 years of college football. You've got fans and folks trying to distract the players, especially in basketball. Remember when we used to get up to the foul line and the crowd's going nuts, hollering out all sorts of things to try to make you miss. Shoot, you guys are trying to manage a basketball game and you've got all these people in your ear, and I could imagine how you have to keep your focus in order to be able to get these proper calls and make sure the game flows the right way. And there's a lot more to it than I thought in just our short conversation right now. And hopefully all this information that we're providing will interest some other folks to get into officiating it as well. Everything I've heard since I became a coach, again, after a layoff of over the last 3 or 4 years, is there's a lack of high school officials. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah. I only officiate two sports, right? Soccer and basketball. But many of my peers, network out to all the other sports, right? So in basketball, I have fellow officials that do football, some that do soccer, some that do volleyball. A lot of them do baseball. And they've all said the same thing. Every sport is hurting. To give you an example, my soccer board is Searsport to Sumner, which is the other side of Ellsworth, and all the way down Deer Isle. Okay. So if you think about how many high schools and middle schools are in that area, right? This fall, we had 11 active officials to cover all of those boys and girls, middle school and high school, varsity and JV. Now, in some respects, we were lucky that the pandemic basically knocked middle school sports out, and it was really only high school sports that were happening, because I don't know, we honestly probably would have had to tell some schools, I'm sorry, we can't cover your game because we just don't have the officials. You know, it was mentioned to me before for basketball, you know, you think about all of the schools across the state. So in our area, which is Knox, Waldo, Penobscot, and Hancock are the four counties that my board covers. I had our board tell us before that we need in the neighborhood of 200 to 220 active officials in order to really fluidly and comfortably cover the schedule and allow people to have a night off and get a good rotation, right? Because you don't want the same person at the same school night after night, right? You want a mixture. So we need 200, 220 or so. Coming into this winter, we have less than 90 officials that are ready to go for this. So it's challenging for sure. There's certainly a lot of contributing factors to it, but we just would like to be able to get more people on board.
You know, the biggest thing that I heard for the lack of officials were, you know, I heard the comment a couple of times that, you know, officials aren't paid enough for what they have to go through officiating any given contest. And I asked, well, what do they go through? And they said, well, you know, all the negative comments that fans might have to say, or, you know, people yelling at the officials and just games getting out of control. How much is that prevalent in the games that you've officiated? Is it an overrated statement? Is it underrated? How much is it there? What do you think about that? That I heard a couple of times, Scott.
Yeah. So for me personally, I think it's an over-exaggerated statement. There are a few schools that I've heard have very energetic, enthusiastic, and boisterous fans. You know, I'm trying to use polite adjectives to explain it, but you know, I did visit a school where I had an on-duty officer escort us back to our vehicles after the game. Just the presence of them eliminates any possibility of an argument in the parking lot as we're leaving or anything like that. But again, there's a lot of things that we do to adjust that too. Like if you go to a high school game, a varsity game at the end of the night, you know, the game's over, we go to the locker room and change, and the fans filter out and leave. And the fans aren't going to hang around. They're going to hop in their vehicle, pick up their kid, and go home. Well, we go in the locker room, we change, we talk about the game, we shower, cleaned up. By the time we walk out, there's nobody there. So there's really nobody there to confront us, and it's really not an issue. Really, those sort of things that come up, it's almost as if those officials are looking for the conflict because they want to, or they want to know that it's there. So it's really not. So if anybody's thinking about doing it and that's a concern for you, it's really not. You really can manage through it. There are a lot of safety protocols in place to eliminate it. If you have a problem with a fan, that's what the athletic directors are there for. That's what, you know, the facility, the person on duty, you bring it to their attention, and that's their duty to take care of that. And a funny story for you. So before I joined the high school board, apparently there was a nearby high school where there was a very tenured official that was officiating a game, and the fans were very loud and inappropriate in the first quarter. And at the end of the first quarter, the official came out to half court and said to the whole fans that they needed to change what they were doing, or he was going to ask the athletic director to empty the gym, because I only need three things to play a game. I need the coaches, the players, and the officials. I don't need fans here for a game. And lo and behold, the fans didn't adjust. So he stopped the game and he instructed the athletic director, and they emptied the gym and they finished the game with no fans in the gym. And they're like, ever since then, that school hasn't had a problem, because they are like, oh, they are serious. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, the varsity games, there's so many fans there. When there's a ton of fans, when there's something that somebody disagrees with, it's so loud and everybody's voices just mush together. You just hear a roar from the crowd. You know, obviously if you make a call on a really bang bang play, no matter how you rule it was legal or illegal, somebody's going to be upset, one team or the other, right? So a block charge situation, no matter what you come out of there with, somebody's going to be upset, right? And you know that. And it really, the only problem becomes is when there's only like 10 or 15 fans, because you can hear individual people. And then it starts to turn your head and you start to notice the one person that is being not an adult, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right.
But then again, it's easy to single that person out and have the athletic director take care of that person too. So I definitely would encourage anybody who's ever thought of that or it's ever been a concern to them, just know that it's not. And anytime you're a new official, you're always going to be partnered with a veteran. And a veteran is going to know how to handle that situation, and they're absolutely going to protect the whole situation, and there is not going to be an issue.
Another great point, and you know, just the little nuances of the officiating world that you never even think of. This is a very interesting conversation so far. In terms of the contests that you officiate, and also the different sports that you do, is there a minimum number of officials that have to be present for a game to go off, or how does all that work in terms of number of officials per game?
So for soccer, technically you can get away with one. It's certainly not ideal because it's very challenging to see offsides. Unless you're playing on a football field that has soccer lines, ironically, that helps tremendously because you can see the lines on the field every 5 yards and each yard marker. And you can look across and you can tell whether that person was across the line or not in that situation. Normally you have two, you can have up to three. Sometimes we do that in, if it's going to be a tightly contested game, you know, in advance, you know, you've got two very competitive teams. You'll bring in three officials just so you have extra set of eyes. And then with basketball, again, realistically, you should have at minimum two every time. You can do it with one, but anytime I've officiated a basketball game by myself, I have to tell the coaches right up front, look, I'm not going to be able to watch for 3 seconds. I'm really not going to be able to watch for illegal screens. You know, these little things, I'm going to have to watch the ball carrier and that contact that's going on, because I can't, why would I take my eyes off the ball carrier to watch for an illegal screen? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And then, you know, again, at the varsity level, we strive to have three people there, because that's when we've got ideal circumstances where we've got eyes on the right situations. And it is the best fit, if that makes sense.
Definitely, definitely. You touched upon a little bit early in our conversation. You talked about getting a really good workout when you're officiating the game. This was actually one of my questions. Would you say basketball or soccer? Which of those two sports do you cover the most ground?
Basketball. I bet you I get at least 12 to 15,000 steps in one basketball game. In soccer, because the play is so spread out and so big, you actually don't really need to move a lot. In basketball, you have to constantly move to improve your view because you have such a refined space and so many bodies. You're constantly moving to get in a better position to see the angle of what's going on.
That is, I was thinking to myself, how many steps does Scott take? You know, I go down to the high school track and I'll put 7 or 8,000 steps in and think I've had a great day. Here you are doing 13,000. Is that what you said in any given context? Yeah. One heck of a workout.
And that's per game. If you do a middle school, you're going to do the boys game, then the girls game. Or if you do JV or sub varsity, a lot of schools have a freshman team and a JV team. And as you can imagine, the wear and tear, they certainly don't want those same officials also doing the varsity game, right? Because you would be so tired from doing those other games. I don't want it to affect your ability to have the best game possible, right? Which, you know, here's the downside. When we have less than 50% of the officials we need, unfortunately, that's probably going to happen this year. If we have it, it's going to be officials doing a JV varsity doubleheader.
Right.
Which 5 years ago, if you would have said that, the officials would have, they would have just laughed at you. They would be like, no, there's no way.
Right.
That's what we're looking at right now.
I hear you. Good stuff, Scott. We're going to take a quick break. This is WBFY. If you're listening to us, you're doing so at 100.9 local FM or BelfastCommunityRadio.org. We have Scott Knoyer, 12-year official in youth and high school sports. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WBFY 100.9 Belfast.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from the Old Professor's Bookshop, a Harvard Square bookstore in downtown Maine, featuring a unique selection of scholarly and rare new and used books, located at 99 Main Street, open 10 to 4 most days.
To help slow the spread of COVID-19, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that people wear cloth face coverings in public settings, especially when other physical distancing measures are difficult to maintain.
Physical distance means 6 feet apart, about 2 arm lengths from other people who are not from your household. You are required to wear face mask coverings in public places where physical distance is difficult to maintain, as recommended by CDC.
The current state guidelines in place are designed to keep you and our frontline employees safe and us in business. Please be kind as we do our best to adapt and serve you.
Together with your help, we can keep Belfast a safe location to visit, shop, eat, and spend time with your family.
You just heard the word from Belfast Mayor Eric Sanders, Belfast Public Health Nurse Susan Dupler, also Corey Chase, the owner of Darby's, and Ryan Otis of Rowley's. We at WBFY would also like to encourage you to do the considerate thing and wear a mask.
Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. Head coach Brian Goff here with Scott Knoyer, 10-12-year official in youth sports here in Maine. Scott, I'd like to ask you, how does a person become an official? If any of our listeners are out there have the desires to become official, what is the process for them to become one?
So it's a little different for each sport. Basketball is a little more requiring because there's a lot of rules and a lot going on and there's a more training involved. But the first step that you would want to take is to get in touch with whoever the interpreter is for the board that you want to join, right? So For Board 111 for basketball, right now it's Wayne Prescott. It was previously David Ames for a very long time. David has been officiating for over 50 years, and he's been the interpreter as long as anybody can remember. And like for soccer, our interpreter is Dana Smith, but that's Acadia Board. If you wanted Belfast to Rockland, you'd have to contact that board. I don't know who that interpreter would be, but I could find out pretty quickly. Like once you talk to any official, they could tell you who their interpreter is, and that interpreter knows who all the other interpreters are in the state. So it would not take long to find out who you need to get a hold of and do the training. You know, soccer's, there's a lot less to it. So that's a little bit easier, but having a previous knowledge of the game is a huge step in the right direction for sure.
How long does it take? Is there any cost on let's say I wanted to become an official. Is there any cost on my part to sign up for this class? Where would I take the class? How long does it take? How does the testing work to, you know, say that you're ready to go? How does all that work, Scott?
Yep. So basketball, you can do in person or there is an online course. There is no cost to go through the training. However, there is a yearly membership fee to be part of any board. And a lot of times most boards will ask you to pay half of your membership for the year because they're going to train you and want to use you that season, as soon as possible. And, you know, your membership fees are, covering insurance costs. You know, these boards operate, there's no profit. You know, they're collecting dues enough to cover what it takes to maintain the board and keep everything in good standing. So.
Awesome. Once I become an official, or anybody for that matter, once you're a certified official, how does it work about getting jobs? You know, games and things of that nature.
So, your each board after you have the interpreter, which would be the person who would train you. You also have to go through, I forgot you asked previously, there is a test that you have to take. They're all online now. You have to get a minimum score in order to remain in good standings. If you don't pass the first time, you can take it again, you know, that sort of thing. So each board also has an assigner. And that assigner is typically a veteran official that's been doing it for a while and has gone through the experience, will get the schedule from all the schools, and he will go through his list of officials and he will just assign people based, try to keep things close, but every now and again, you have to travel a little bit. You usually get 2 to 3 weeks worth of assignments, to start out. And then when you have about a week left, you'll get another 2 weeks. So you never get the full season because there's a lot of moving parts. But you'll always know at minimum a week in advance where you're going, who your partner is, because you're typically going to carpool with them to get to, you know, the location for officiating and everything. And those games, how they assign them is different depending on the sport and the level of the game that's being asked, right? So you're not going to put a brand new official on a Camden versus Hamden boys varsity game, right? Like, that's just not a good idea. It's not going to be, you know, typically you're going to start out at your middle school games and they're going to keep you there and they'll evaluate you and then you earn a higher rating. Your test score is part of your rating. And that's what earns you the higher level of competition.
Sounds good. Now, could you make this a full-time job? Would there be work on a yearly basis if somebody really wanted to make this their career?
Absolutely. That I know some officials that is, you know, they have their own business that they do to kind of fill in between the seasons, or maybe during the day. In some cases, that's, you know, an ideal situation, because not knowing when you've got to get out of work to get there, if you're self-employed, that makes things a lot easier, versus if you're at an 8-to-5 job, you know, it's a little more challenging to adjust your schedule for that sort of thing. So, you know, once you are networked in and you know, you get to know all the people that officiate, you know, all the different seasons, all of these AAU tournaments, weekend tournaments, man, there is all you can eat, you know, especially if you're good at what you do and you're passionate about it and you put in the effort and you know what you're doing, you have to turn away work because they need so many people.
In terms of the pay, does it increase as the experience level goes up with officials? Like, is a 10-year vet like yourself making more than a rookie, if you will?
So it's not based exclusively on just your experience. So it's not Scott gets this amount of a game fee no matter what he does. It's the level of play gets that game fee based on what you're covering, right? Generally speaking, your more tenured officials are going to do the higher level competitions, which result in higher pay. And then the more you do it, you do those on a regular basis, higher pay, right? But I can tell you that I've done a middle school game with David Ames, who's a 50-year veteran, but he did it because he knows that's what we needed to do because there was no one else available to cover that game, right? He's probably done 5,000 middle school games, and he got the same pay for that one that he did for the first one that he did.
Understood. As you know, officials are human beings. Human beings do make mistakes from time to time. Bad calls are made on occasion. When that happens, do you feel compelled to apologize or give a explanation to the coaching staff when something like that takes place?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually had a tournament official talk to me after a game once, and I was telling them about the mistake that I had made during the game. And he goes, my goal is to only make one mistake per game. He's like, if you can walk out of a game and say that you've made one or two mistakes, that's a really good game. Exactly to your point, we're human. We make mistakes. We see things differently. And I absolutely own a mistake when it happens. And I will go talk to the table, talk to the coaches, explain to them what happened. Sometimes there's nothing I can do about it, right? Sometimes it's just, I apologize, coach, I'll do better next time. But unfortunately, because of the rules, there's nothing I can do to change it. And then other times there, and again, this is part of the training, there are correctable errors, right? So during a game, a certain event happens. And then as we're running down the floor, I start thinking, geez, you know what? I don't think that was right. I think it's the other way. So we'll stop play and I'll go talk to my peer official and we'll talk it out. Yeah, you know what? We need to fix that. So then we'll go talk to the coaches and we'll square everything away. And I'll tell you, that sort of acknowledgement of that goes a long way with coaches. I mean, think of yourself as a coach. An official comes over and owns a mistake, there's a lot of respect there. And you know, the same thing when a coach hollers at me about something and then comes back later and goes, you know what? I was wrong about that. I'm sorry. You know, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Now, are you at the level now where you're kind of the senior official out there working with some new guys that are just getting into the game?
Yeah. So definitely I'm being leveraged, and I like to step up and mentor, especially newer officials. It comes naturally to me, and I very much enjoy doing it. But again, newer officials, you're doing a middle school, you're doing maybe a freshman high school game, and they're pairing it with somebody who's comfortable and can help out a lot, that sort of thing. Conversely, you know, to that same point, I am certainly not the veteran man when it comes to varsity games. Like, I've only done 15 varsity games so far for basketball in the 4 years that I've been doing it. Because like I said, there's still 50 or more of my peers that have done hundreds of varsity games, and they're still out there doing the game. So do they come down every now and again and do their part and do a couple middle school games? Absolutely. And that honestly opens the door for some of us who are waiting to do varsity games can step up and do that. So it's different every night, right? Like that night that I got a varsity game, I know that my partner is going to be a veteran. He knows their stuff and he's going to help me out because I'm new to the varsity level. And then the next night I could be working with a brand new person who just got certified and they're nervous as all get out. And I'm there to help calm them down and get through the middle school games and get through all of those situations.
Interesting. Very interesting. my next question is, and I think you kind of touched upon it a little bit earlier, you know, with any job that I've ever held, whether it's in sports or outside of sports, there's definitely things that I really enjoy about it. There's some things that I might not, you know, find so much enjoyable. What would you say? I know you said you're a big fan of sports and you get a really good workout when you officiate these games. What else is it that you really like about this line of work that you're doing? And, you know, is there anything that you dislike that you think could, you know, have some room for improvement to make your experience overall better?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it really just comes down to the kids, the players. You know, when you see that kid have a great game and they're just emotions and the teammates and that big win, you kind of feel it. You feel that energy. And, you know, when you officiate a really tight game and you know you gave it your best effort and the kids did too, everybody leaves it out on the court. There's just that satisfaction of, you know, that was a lot of fun. Great game to watch and officiate, and we're right in the mix of it, and it was a great time. The unfortunate parts are the one thing that I would like to see cleaned up, and it is very challenging to solve, is when you have those really lopsided games and you get a player that doesn't really have the control to not run up the score, or the sportsmanship type of thing. And usually that feeds off of a coach. You know, in the last year or two, I've had a game where the coach put his starters back in the fourth quarter because he had an opportunity for his middle school team to score 100 points in a game. So even though the score was 95-25, he put his starters back in. And, you know, that's not right. Like, do you really need to do that to them? I mean, the game was over in the first quarter, you know, and the challenging part is whose fault is that really, right? Like the kids do want to play the game. They want to get out there and get their experience and that sort of thing. But, you know, a school that's got 30 kids on their basketball team is going up against another team that only has 6 kids on the entire roster. You kind of already know before the game starts how that's going to go. I really wish that everybody would really grasp the sportsmanship piece of it and understand that, you know what, you don't need to full court press the entire first half against a team that you know you're going to win handily, but it still happens, unfortunately.
Right, right. I know that, you know, sportsmanship is something that's stressed at Belfast Area High School. I know a lot of the coaches in our league in terms of football are united to make it better. And I just hope that it can keep improving in every aspect. Cause like you said, you know, even as a spectator, I like to go watch a lot of sports. You really appreciate the sportsmanship aspect. And, you know, if people get out there and give it their all and give it 110% and, you know, the outcome is what it is. If you play the game the right way, and, you know, I tell my football players, if you ever have to, you know, interact with an official, it's yes, sir, no, sir, and show these people some respect. They're human beings too, and respect will take you a long way. In terms of advice, Scott, if you have what type of advice could you give to an official who just passed his test. He's just been certified. He's about to work his first gig. He's just getting into the game. What advice could you give to these first-year official and referees?
So relax. And, you know, we talked about it earlier. You're going to make a mistake, and that's okay. But we're here to learn and get better, and take your time, right? So a common trap that a lot of newer officials fall into is I blow my whistle and all eyes are on me. All 10 players on the floor look at me, all the bench, the coaches, all of the fans are looking at you. And all you want to do because you're so nervous is get the eyes off of you. And the way you do that is by hurrying up and saying what you saw and starting play again to get the eyes, you know, back onto something else. And I'll tell you, it took me a couple of games to really grasp and understand that you have to just take your time, take a breath and go, okay, let me make sure I got this right because I owe it to the kids to get it right and make sure that they get the best from me. And not let my nerves or anxiety get in the way of doing the best that I can.
Well said. Now for folks interested in becoming officials, are there any websites that you could direct them to? Any point people to contact? What's the best way for folks to get signed up for these classes that you talked about and start their training and become Maine high school officials?
Yeah, so if you're interested in basketball, Wayne Prescott is our Board 111 interpreter. So if you were to either call him or email him directly, if you don't know him, you could also just simply go to iabo.org. So you can see it right here on my shirt, I-A-A-B-O. And right on the front page, there is a link, become an official. Click here, and it will take you to the email addresses, the phone numbers. It kind of gives you a little PowerPoint of expectations. So you can kind of read through that, and you can decide if you want to do online or if you want to do in-person instruction is still available as well. You know, for soccer, like I said, the Acadia board, Dana Smith, newly actually at the end of the season, Otis Neeland is our interpreter. And I know for baseball, Robbie Curtis is the trainer for baseball umpires. And honestly, if you're nervous about any of that, call me, email me, and I'll connect you to whomever you need to. If you're at a game, and talk to the official after the game. If you walk up to an official and say, hey, who do I call and what do I do to become an official? I will drop what I'm doing right there and get out a pen and paper and write down whatever you need. Because every single official knows that we need new people that are passionate and serious about doing a good job for the kids. So you shouldn't have any trouble finding it in that way.
That is awesome. Hopefully this conversation will kind of push people over the fence that might have been thinking about it for a while and haven't for whatever reason. And sounds like a great way to supplement your income, stay involved with sports, have fun with it. And if you really love it, gosh, you could make a full-time career out of this as well. I was just looking over my questionnaire. I've got two more for you, Scott. Okay. Now, you said you coached at a number of different levels. It reminded me when I went to watch my niece's basketball game a couple years ago. I believe she was in the second grade, and I do recall there being officials there. There wasn't a lot of dribbling going on that day. In terms of the young kids, how do you navigate through the relaxing of the rules, if you will? Is that a conversation you have with the coaches before the game on what type of expectations might be set forth? You know, with the younger kids, you know, they're still trying to figure it out, and you got to be lenient, or you'd probably be blowing your whistle every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
How does that piece work?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. So having the conversation with the coaches beforehand, you know, when you're talking about travel league, YMCA type of leagues, you have, it's a little more, it's not as formal. So you have time to just kind of chat with the coaches and get a feel for, you know, what you're looking at. And then honestly, at any basketball level, so you see the officials out on the court 10 minutes before, 15 minutes before, that's part of our duties. We're learning and evaluating, and we're looking to see what we have to work with. Not even, you know, at a higher level, at the varsity level, we're out there and we're watching the player's footwork when they're shooting around, and we'll identify, like, that person struggles with their pivot foot. I'm going to make sure to not miss that during the game. That person likes to slide step before they shoot their threes. I'm going to keep an eye out for that when I see that player in the game. So that helps us during the game to pick up on those little things. So when you watch those warmups and you get a sense for how tight I need to be or how relaxed I need to be with the rules, it all just, and once you've done it a couple of times, it all just makes sense.
Wow. It's another piece I never thought about. You know, you guys are standing out there while we're warming up. You're not just standing there taking up space and waiting for the game to start. You're actually starting to take some mental notes to help you perform better. And, you know, the better that you guys perform, the better the outcome of the game is. And it's really, truly an art. And it's very, very been a really cool and interesting conversation to learn more about the world of officiating. Last one for me, Scott. What would you like to say to any of our listeners out there listening right now that, you know, may have the desire to become an official or never thought of it before, and maybe it's perked their interest? What would you say to them to make them give it a shot and, you know, take that leap of faith and try something new?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, that's the thing, is growth comes from being uncomfortable, right? If you want to experience it, it's not going to, you know, nothing worth doing is ever easy, right? It's going to take some time and effort. And if you really like it and you're really passionate about that sport or being involved, that's going to take you a long ways. And as I said, any official of any sport is going to be more than happy to talk to you and share their experiences at any level. They're more than happy to talk to people who are interested. And like I said, please feel free to reach out to me. Email, text, stop me in the grocery store around town. I love, you know, being able to answer questions for anybody. Take a chance. You know, it was from my experience when I first started doing basketball, I thought, well, at first, how hard can it be? Right? It looks pretty easy watching it or whatever. And I learned it was challenging, but you choose to rise to the challenge and figure out, all right, what do I need to work on? And you don't fix everything at once. You do one thing at a time. And you're always going to be out there with a partner. Nobody's ever going to hire you and ask you to do by yourself if you're not comfortable with it, right? So I do it because I'm comfortable with it. I've been doing it long enough. I have no problem going out there by myself. But you're going to have a partner, and they're going to be good at what they do, and they're going to help you out. So don't be afraid. And, you know, you learn the most from making mistakes, right? Don't be afraid to make a mistake. We're going to learn from it. Just don't do it again, you know, immediately 10 seconds later. So it's a lot of fun. It's a great workout. And like I said, there's no better seat in the house. Not even a coach gets a better view than you do of the court. I mean, you are right there with the play the whole time. And some of the plays that you've seen, I can't even tell you how many times I've said under my breath, wow, that was an amazing pass, or what a great play, you know. And again, nobody saw it closer than the officials on the court or on the field or whatever.
Any funny experiences or stories that you could share with us? Did you ever get too close to comfort, anything of that nature in your career?
Too close for comfort. So some good stories. I was one of my first high school games, you know, middle school to high school, it's faster, quicker. You're nervous about missing something. So I was a little bit anxious. But again, I had a veteran with me, so they did a good job of calming me down. And like I said, David Ames, he was the interpreter. He's the one who taught me. He stressed over and over again. He's like, when a coach is upset about something and you go over to explain it to him, it's really important that you explain it as exactly as it's written in the rule book and use the terminology in the rule book, because you can't refute that, right? And there was a bang, bang, block charge play, right? This player drove in, lowered his shoulder, knocked the defender over, and I came up with a player control, which is, you know, the crowd goes nuts when that happens, right? And the bench, oh, you got to be kidding me. That should have been a block on him. So the coach is screaming at me. So I just set the ball to my partner, walked over to the coach, and he's like, how is that a block? And I just said, like, right to the rule book. I'm like, the defender established legal guarding position. The ball handler lowered his shoulder and hit him in the torso, initiating contact. That is a player control foul. And the coach literally went, okay, thank you very much. Like, conversation over. And from that point forward, I'm like, yeah, like when you walk over there and you just stay calm and explain things to them in the way that is universal, everybody understands, right? All the coaches get rule books. The officials get the rule books. They're like, yeah, I get it. You know, and then the unfortunate situations that I've had come up before, learning experiences, when you make a mistake, when you're back by the table and a three-point shot goes up and you're following the ball to see if it goes in, it's easy to follow the ball and take your eyes off of the player who just took that shot. And I had one where they did that, and I heard the crowd roar before the ball went in. And I thought to myself, why would you roar before the ball went in? And I turned and I looked, and the player who just shot was in the bleachers. And the defender just came and crashed into him, and they both went flying into the bleachers. And I never saw it. And the coach was so upset with me. And he's like, how do you not call that? And I'm like, number one, coach, unfortunately, I can't call something I didn't see. Now, with that being said, I apologize. That will not happen again. And that was, you know, something we were taught, but it never really stuck with me until I saw it happen. And I go, okay, now I understand what they mean by that shot goes up. I keep my eyes on that shooter. And if the ball goes in, the fans will tell me whether it went in or not. I really don't need to physically see the ball go in, right? And the players are going to take the ball out of bounds. I can stay with this guy. And ever since I've been able to do that, it just, again, it becomes easier. It all just falls into place a little bit at a time.
Good point. Not only are you using your eyes, you use your ears out there as well. You're using the crowd. You got to take all these variables and work them into your game. And at the end of the day, you're doing the best that you can. And hopefully with experience, you're making it nice and fair for everybody, and the true winner comes out of that contest. Scott, I really enjoyed the conversation. You definitely educated me in terms of things I never even thought of, you know, with this profession. Didn't really realize that there was a lack of officials until I kind of heard whispers over the last couple of years. You've confirmed it. I hope the information that we've provided tonight, even if, like you said, if we got one official out of this, you know, this has been a great interview. Hopefully it does come from that. If anybody does approach you or approach me, I'll certainly put them in contact with you. And if you do have somebody that reaches out to you, please feel free to let me know, because I just like to know from a friend standpoint. And I think it'd be really cool if we could get a couple officials out of this at the end of the day. Scott, appreciate it. A lot of great insight, great interview, great conversation. I appreciate what you do. We couldn't have sports if it wasn't for guys like you. So thank you very much. I know a lot of our players and parents and school think the same thing. And appreciate you coming on the show. This is WBFY, Belfast Lions Sports Show, here with Scott Knoyer, youth and high school official. Scott, have a great night. We'll see you on the court.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.